Amen. So let's do this. Let's start out right. If you would all stand up on your feet, let's honor the word. And again, we're going to do a call back. So I will read the word. Then I will declare this is the word of the Lord. And then all of you will just say, praise be to God. We're all just going to accept this is God's word. Amen. There's a reason we do this. We don't do it by accident. Ready? Here we go. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. All right, you may be seated. So I feel like I want to mention, you know, all you got to do is turn on the news and it just, you know, the world seems like, you know, it can be quite alarming. It can be quite alarming to look at what's going on in our nation and in the world. And it should be alarming if you don't know Jesus, because we are living in the last of the last days. All you got to do is read in Matthew chapter 24. Everything that Jesus said, and you know, no man knows the day or hour, but he said, when you see fruit on a tree, you know the season is coming. Yeah. When you start to see these things happen in our nation and in the world, you know, hey, but for those of us who are believers, we look up because our redemption draws nigh. We live by kingdom principle, right? So the church should look very, very different than what's going on in the world. The church community should look very, very different than what's going on in the world. Are you with me? And so I have to stop before I even get into this, because the title of my message today is The Gift of Belonging. When we understand that the church isn't the building, it's the people, and that you belong here. You belong to me, and I belong to you. We belong with one another. Are you with me? We're parts of the body of Christ and members individually, brothers and sisters in Christ, and he places us where he would have us go. The problem is, it doesn't always really work that way, right? So I've got to stop and talk about church hurt. Now raise your hand if you have been church hurt. Now look around. It's almost all of us, right? I grew up in the church. I've been hurt several times in the church. You know why? Because the church is the people, okay? Our issue is we take issue a lot of times with Jesus for something that someone else did to us. I'm not here for you. I'm here for him. Are you with me? And so there's this idea sometimes that if I find the right fit, that I will never have conflict. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Right? But there is a right way to handle that conflict. Right? We have a covenant here: unity, honor, and trust. And we follow it. And what that means is we're going to seek to be unified. And if I'm going to find a way to get along with you. And we'll see in Ephesians a little later, but I mean, doesn't it even say that we as living stones are being built together into a dwelling place of God? Right? Well, I don't know about you, but if you look at some of those old buildings, those stones, they come off of the ground. They're not brick. So in order to get those stones to fit together, they got to break off some of those edges. And sometimes that person that just gets on your nerves, that's God maturing you, growing you up. Are you with me? Come on, somebody. It says a lot more about you. Are you with me? So let's get into this now. I want to use the illustration of this. So the community, the church community, it works like a trampoline. You get on the trampoline and it'll keep you up. And it will shoot you higher and higher. But you need every little spring in place. The more springs, the higher you go. But notice, the whole thing isn't based on one spring. I'm just one spring. My spring happens to be here. Right? But I'm just one spring. So I don't hold the whole thing up. The frame that the springs are built on is Jesus. He's the foundation. And I'm just connected to him. And if I stay, watch this now, if I stay connected to him and stay connected to you, the trampoline will work. If I unhook from him, I do you no good. If I unhook from you, I'm not doing him any good. I won't talk about church. Can I get a witness? Come on. Let's talk about church. So listen, you have to understand the purpose of the church. And when I say church, I'm not talking about this building. I mean the people of the church, the Ecclesiastes, the called out ones. Did you know the word church is ekklesia? Ek means out and klesio means call. It means to call out. It's a pronoun, the called out ones. The saints. The word saint means set apart for God's purpose. That's what it means. Hagiismos. We're people, right? Our job is to influence the world. Listen, I've heard it said before, the church is the hope of the world. And I agree with that with one caveat. Jesus in the church is the hope of the world. I have to stay connected to him if I'm going to do you any good. But our job is to influence the world, not to be separate from them. We are in the world, we're just not of the world. The world is the point. We've talked about this. They're the point. Are you with me? So our job is to influence them. So if you think about influence, it's where we get our word influenza. Everybody knows what that means, right? It's the flu. So what happens? You're going to catch that, right? You don't have to. You don't have to be sick. You can curse that. And you don't have to. But just from a natural standpoint, like, it's an influence that spreads. Don't we talk about spreading the gospel? Right? The church is supposed to be an influence. Our community should and does influence the larger community around us. And not just on serve days or at special events or inviting somebody to church, but the way you behave at work. Yes. Ask me how I know. Because I got called out one time. Because I spent, well, just one time. It was only one time. But, you know, I may have had a carnal moment at work one time. And didn't realize there was somebody on the next aisle. And they heard. And at the time, I wasn't a pastor. But then I became a pastor. Now, should they understand that everybody is carnal? That's why I don't preach me, I preach Jesus. I don't get up here and tell you how holy I am. I'm actually really open-handed with you guys about, hey, I have an anointing to do this. I have an anointing to lead. And if I've ever ministered to you or done, it's an anointing, though. It's the Holy Spirit, and I'm just being obedient. It's not me. And I don't have a special anointing to come off of the stage. I've got to do the same thing you do at work. And this is how I learned this. Because I've put my foot in my mouth one time, and the lady never set foot in my church. Because she saw me in a carnal moment. And it's rather embarrassing, to be honest with you. I hate admitting it. But if I don't tell you, listen, you're supposed to influence the world around you. Now, that's not a legalism thing. You just have to be aware. They need to see you repent. Now, what she didn't see was, you know, 2 minutes later, me going, oh, Lord, forgive me, in the back room, right? But people need to see that, you know? People need to see that you can mess up and still walk with Jesus. What we do is we think influencing the world around us is we don't cuss and we don't chew, we don't go with girls that do, and how could you watch that, and how could you say that, instead of, I'd rather not do that. You don't watch this show? Nah, I don't like it. It gets on my nerves. Does that make sense? Well, why does it get on your nerves? Well, it makes fun of Jesus. I remember when I had first given my life back to Jesus, because I grew up in church, but I backslid for a long time. You guys know, most of you know that story, and I was in the world and of the world. It was bad. And, you know, if you go out into the world and you throw yourself into the world and do things the way the world does it, they will eat you up and spit you out, and you will come dragging back to Jesus. And you're going to have a lot of baggage that he's going to have to heal you from. Right? But if you take Jesus into the world, he keeps you safe, and you begin to pull people, fishers of men. Isn't that what he said? They see the goodness of God in you. Yeah, come on, somebody. Yeah, we can praise God for that. Does that make sense? So it's not, again, walking in the New Testament, it's not about measuring. The law isn't something we measure up to anymore. The law is something that we live out. We don't live up to it. We live it out in relationship with Jesus. We stumble, we fall, we pick ourselves up, and we keep going. Are you with me? So let's get into the scripture now in the, you know, 5 minutes that I have left. Here we go. So watch this now. You're supposed to be a culture carrier. You're supposed to be an influence to the world, but the where you get that influence is because of the culture you belong here. Right? The Bible says in Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, right? Your church is a gift to you from God. Think about that for a second. I'm a gift to you from God. You're a gift to me from God. Ought to change the way we think about each other, right? You're a gift to me, and I'm a gift to you. And there can be no sense of ownership in the culture or of the culture without a little bit of responsibility, though. Right? You belong here, which means you belong here. But if you belong, wherever you belong, you contribute. Does that make sense? And how you can contribute, doesn't the Bible say, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. So number one, when you belong, you seek to be equipped and useful and available. You want to be a part. I love this body of believers because, I mean, most people volunteer in more than one area. Now, we do have areas. Kids has openings. There are openings everywhere. There's a place for you to serve. But I'm not trying to, don't get nervous. I'm not trying to recruit anybody. It's volunteer day, and God just put it on my heart because of what you said, the anointing. If we want to see more of that happen, right? The Bible says, oh, how pleasant is it when brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the anointing oil that's poured over the head of Aaron, and then it drops all the way down to his feet. Aaron is the priest, and they would anoint him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. That anointing oil represented the power of the Holy Spirit for him to do what he was called to do. And David says, when brethren in the church dwell together in unity, that anointing comes from me and flows right down to you. Because we dwell together in unity. Are you with me? So that's the second thing, Ephesians 4:13. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith. See that? When you belong, you aim to come into unity. You're not looking to get them to agree with you, right? That's our idea of unity is uniformity. That's uniformity is not unity. Uniformity is I will do what you tell me to do. Unity is I'm with you. I'm for you. Those are not the same thing, right? So a lot of times when we teach unity, what we're teaching is a behavior modification. This is how we do this. This is how we do that. And I can't tell you how many times I've had to tell somebody, like, oh, I'm sorry I wasn't at church. And I'm like, I did miss you. I did. I noticed you were gone. But I wasn't sitting home going, Sister so-and-so wasn't at church on Sunday. Bet she's backslidden. You know? I didn't see Kaida at church. She must have been out to the weed last night. Boop, scoop. I hear stories. No, I'm joking. I'm totally joking. I'm picking on her. Are you with me now? So unity means I'm with you and I'm for you. And that means when I have an issue with you, I take it up with you. There's this other idea of unity too. I'm just, I cannot stick to that. I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So sometimes in trying to seek unity, we will avoid the confrontation. I just want to keep the peace. We do this in our marriages too. I just want to keep the peace. Sometimes you got to rock that boat. Because if it doesn't get addressed, it's like an infection. It becomes this infection. And it doesn't create unity. It creates distance because then now you stay away from them because there's something unsettled. There's something unsettled. And then it makes it uncomfortable. Right? Does that make sense? And so we have to understand that unity is not uniformity on the one side, meaning we all have to believe exactly the same and do exactly the same. Which is why I like the Moravians. They said, in the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. You know? There are four or five different ways that you can explain certain topics in the Bible. And all of them are, I mean, they could be valid, maybe. That's why we follow what here? Rules of biblical interpretation, right? Because we don't going to get caught up in all of that. We need to know what the essentials are, and we're firm on those. You know what I mean? So we have to understand that there's a ditch of uniformity, but then there's that other ditch where it's like, oh, well, you know, belonging just means I can kind of, if you belong home at a certain time, where do you go? Home. So if we're having a service and you don't have anything else going on and you belong here, then where do you belong? Here, you should be here. Right? You're with us. You're ours. And that's not, it's not about attendance or tracking. It's when there's something refreshing about having your people to go to. Let me just tell you this right now. I'm telling you, yes, praise God for that. Come on. The Bible talks about when Paul and Silas, I think it was Silas, Paul and Silas got whipped. They got arrested. They got whipped. They got commanded not to preach in Jesus' name. I think it was Paul and Silas. And then they went straight from the jailhouse. They didn't go home. They went to church. Right? Now, I've been called from jail before. I'm usually the first call one of you guys makes if you get arrested. Pastor Will, I'm in trouble. Are you with me? But there's a power in having your people. That's what the church is supposed to be. The church is supposed to be your people. Yeah. Right? But then there's that other ditch, too, where it's like you can kind of come and go as you please, but there's no connection. That's not community. Yeah. Are you with me? That's like going to the movies. That's entertainment. It's entertaining. Sure, you can have a nice time. But there's no connection, so there's no responsibility. I'm responsible for you. I take responsibility for you. Are you with me? And I can tell you right now, I have been through the worst thing a person could go through. And it was my church family. I wouldn't have made it without you people. It was my church family. It wasn't the government. It wasn't even my natural family. It was my church. And that's why I'm preaching about it today. Because it comes in handy to belong to a church, to a real body of believers that takes responsibility for you, cares about you, challenges you, holds you accountable. We like the fun aspect of belonging someplace. We hate the accountability, though. We don't like that. Why'd you ask me that? Well, because I love you. I love you. And if I love you and I see something, you know, it'd be like you walking in here with something on your face, a growth on your face, and me just ignoring it because it's an uncomfortable topic. And not ever saying anything about it. Right? But if I care about you, I'm like, hey, moly, 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 mole, mole, mole. What is that? Too far? Sorry. Right? So when you do belong, you lean in, you want to grow, you want to mature. You want real connection. Right? But with real connection comes intimacy. But with intimacy comes accountability. Right? So a lot of times what we call community, and I don't know about anybody else, I'm just going to talk about my pastor, whatever, but you know, there is a type of community in the world, but as soon as you run out of weed, they're gone. You need to borrow $5, you need a ride, they're gone. Can I get a witness? As soon as you don't have anything to offer them, they're out. And you might have those friends that are like, what if what you offer them is the sense that they belong? Right? And here's how the enemy works. Here's how the enemy works. This one will be for free. I feel like you young people that are in the room today need to listen to me. This is for you. There is a pattern that you will notice in people that are trying to take advantage of you. Whether they know it or not. Some people aren't mature enough to know that they're just trying to take advantage of you. Or they don't care. Listen to me very carefully now. The pattern is instigate, isolate, escalate. A predator will always instigate something with you. It could be good. Could be a kiss. Could be a gift. Instigate. And then isolate you from where you belong. And then once they get you isolated, they begin to escalate whatever they want from you. That's how the enemy works. Did God say? No. Are you with me? So you have to be people that really love you and care about you. And I say this all the time. We don't do the whole arm bending, arm twisting thing here. Never have, never will. And all of the campuses, it's not how we operate. What's the difference between, you guys should know this, what's the difference between influence and manipulation? What's the difference? Hidden agenda. If I come to you and say, hey, I would like you to serve on the worship team. I would like you to do that. Right up front, I can't do that. Okay, that's fine. Manipulation looks like this. Have you ever thought about singing? You know, I was talking to so-and-so. It'd be really nice if... No. You say it right up front. Put it right out on the table. This is what we're talking about. This is what I want from you. Are you with me? I don't even know why I'm talking about this. It's not in my notes. But you guys... Definitely the Holy Spirit is trying to say some things to us today. Right? In a community where you belong, there's no manipulation. There is influence. There is culture. Are you with me? There is culture. And the way we build that culture is we seek to grow up. We challenge ourselves to be closer, to be intimate, to be real with ourselves, to get past ourselves and get over ourselves and our ego. And then what happens is when the world looks into the church, if they look into a church like that, what they see is genuine community. And that's what they really want. That's what Facebook is all about. People want community. But that is a parody of community. I love what the Message Bible calls it. Ugly parodies of community. Gangs. Right? Gangs are an ugly parody of community. Right? Snitches get stitches. Right? Ugly parody of community. Right? Do I? Dare I? Dare I say it? I'm Republican. Well, I'm Democrat. Well, I'm independent. Is there something wrong with our government in part? No. What I'm saying is it can become an ugly parody of community. Right? Come on, somebody. So let's stop and talk about that for a second. We live under what's called a constitution, constitutional law. What does that mean? My rights I am born with, and the Constitution protects them. My freedoms are my own. Where I disagree with you is in the best way to practice that freedom in unity with one another. And that's how we get the parties. Right? That's fine for government. I'll just leave that there. That's fine for government. Parties don't belong in the church. We are kingdom people. Are you with me? We're kingdom people. So unity should look different. And we should bring that unity and that idea of unity into our community, into our governments. Christianity exists in every continent in the world, in almost every country in the world. It's alive and well and doing just fine. Now, in some places, they're killed for it. But we've been killed for being Christians since Christianity started. That's nothing new. Are you with me? All the more reason we should stick with one another, right? So here's, let me make this point. Let's go to Psalms. Andrew, isn't Andrew doing a good job? Because I'm bouncing all over the place. And he's, watch this now. We have to get over being wishy-washy, jumping around from church to church based on our likes and dislikes. It's not about that. It's about a calling. You're asking God, where have you, not where do I want to go? Where do I feel comfortable? Where do I get fed? If you're going to a place and you know you're called there and belong there and you don't think you're being fed, maybe you need to start helping to feed. Maybe you need to level up because we're supposed to all be maturing. We're supposed to be maturing. So if there's something on your heart that just bothers you and it's not happening, but you know that God called you here, that's what we have life groups for. You got something on your heart? Start a life group. Are you with me? Jump in. Roll up your sleeves. You'd be surprised at how you grow when you serve. Some of the biggest lessons that I've ever learned came in kids. I had this little girl one time say to me, I was explaining repentance. I was explaining, you know, confess your sins. He's faithful. He's just to forgive you your sins. And she was like, it's kind of like hitting the home screen button. And I went, what? And she's like, yeah, you just hit the home screen. Takes you right back to where you're supposed to be. And I was like, bum, 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 bum. You know that sound, that TH. I was like, whoa, that was awesome. Are you with me? So watch this now. What we have to understand is in order for you to grow that way, though, you have to be planted. So watch this. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Everybody say planted.
Planted.
Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Watch the result. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So people will see that he is the foundation, that he has made your life what it is, but you have to be planted in the house, wherever he calls you. If you're called, you plant yourself. Right? So let's talk about roots for a second. The higher the tree goes, the deeper the roots need to be. I'll say that again. The higher the tree gets. Anybody ever, after a storm, we had this on our property. Great big old beautiful tree. My favorite tree on the property. Windstorm came, blew that tree over. All the roots, they were spread out. Oh, God, that's good. God, you are so good. A lot of us will spread roots out this way, and we know lots of different people, but we didn't go deep with any of them. And so when the wind and the rain comes, you get uprooted and you leave. Come on, let's praise God for it. Right? You've got to get those, you've got to go deep. You got to go deeper. Right? And that doesn't mean, listen to what I love Pastor Jacob. Listen to what I'm saying, not what I'm not saying. Because again, all those hands went up in here, so I know there's lots of church hurt out there. I'm not saying you have to be here every time the doors are open. I'm saying that when you come, if you're called, wherever you're called to, when you go, that's where you go. And you know people there, and you connect with them, and you serve, and you grow. Because that's what you're supposed to be doing. And then you take that, you don't just leave it there, you take it to work with you the next day. You're the same person. It amazes people. Anybody that's had lunch with me knows this. I'm the same dude. You don't get one version of me on the stage and then another version of me out at lunch. I'm the same. We should all be that way. We've got like our church face, right? And this is, and listen to something else I need to say too. This isn't a, when you belong, you don't have to pretend. You can come. How are you doing? Blessed and highly favored, brother. You know, just had a knockdown, drag out fight with your wife on the way here. Tried to hit your kids. Step out of the car. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How are you doing, brother? I can't go under for getting over. And you look at his wife's face. She's following him in like, are you with me? No, you don't have to be that. When you belong, you can come in and go, man, it's tough. Pray for me. It's been tough. Pray for me. I messed up. Pray for me. I'll never forget one of the best conversations I ever had with Marshawn. It was so awesome. And it made us closer. Like, genuinely, we grew that day. We were at Popsicles at the park. So first of all, we connected closer because he came to something we were doing. He came to something that we were doing. And so I told the bananas, have you guys heard the banana illustration? I used the illustration of bananas. I said a wife was going to make banana bread because she knew that the whole family liked it. This is where I'll end. I'll end here. She knew that the whole family liked it, so she wanted to make banana bread. And you know, when you're going to make banana bread, you got to let them rot. You got to let them get dark. And she came downstairs, and her husband had eaten the dark one. And then the next day, the dark one, he keeps eating all the dark ones, and she gets frustrated. She's like, again, I don't want to cause any trouble, so I'm just not going to say anything. That's terrible. I'll just go buy bananas, and he can eat those, and I'll save these for the banana bread. Well, sure enough, he started eating those brown bananas. So finally, she gets so upset and irritated that she says, why do you keep eating all the brown bananas? I'm trying to make banana bread. And he said, oh, thank God I don't have to eat those nasty bananas anymore. I just didn't want them to go to waste. I thought I was helping you. Because they didn't talk about it. But so here's the moral of the story. Marshawn comes and sits down in front of me and says, it is the funniest thing. He's a big guy, you know, I'm a little guy. He comes and he gets down on my level. You know, he sits down, he's like, Pastor, I failed the bananas test. It was hilarious. And I couldn't stop laughing. He was serious. He's like, man, I failed it. And so I started asking him questions. And she's sitting there, and she's just smiling. She's all genteel. She's like, but you can see, she's like, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You failed it. So I started asking questions, and that was bad. Because he's like, well, I said, so what did you do? And he told on himself. He told on himself. But he was real. He was real because he knew he belonged with me. Right? He didn't pretend. He was real. And the gift of belonging, that's what that means, is you can be real. You can disagree. Just don't be disagreeable. You know? You can disagree. But when you belong, it's a gift. Belonging to a church, belonging to a congregation, it's a gift. And we've all been hurt. And that's because people will hurt you. People will hurt you. And that doesn't, just because people hurt you, that doesn't mean you weren't called there. The person that hurt you, I have been hurt by people that ended up being really, really close to me. I've been hurt by people that I ended up realizing I was not called to be in relationship with them. I've been hurt by people and hurt people and been corrected by my pastors, and I grew up and they grew up. And I learned how not to do some things. I learned how to be a better person, a better pastor, a better leader, a better disciple. You can't get that on your own. You need to be connected to the body and to Jesus, like that trampoline. Now, here's the issue. Everybody hangs their head because everybody is growing in this. I am growing in this. None of us have arrived. And the Bible in Ephesians, it goes on to say, he will continue to do this until Jesus comes back. The process of growing up never changes. But here's the deal. We look at it like it's a ladder, and it's not a ladder. We think, I'm doing good. So I'm doing good, and I'm getting higher, and I'm doing better. And then if I mess up, then I have to start all over again. I fall all the way down to the ground. Oh, God, forgive me. And it's no wonder so many people have such a hard time in their walk with God and walk around with shame and condemnation. It's because they're looking at that relationship like a ladder, and it's not. The Bible calls it a race. If you're in a race and you fall down, do you have to go all the way back to the beginning? Do you lose how far you've come? No. What's important is that you pick yourself up as quickly as possible, dust yourself off, and keep going in the right direction. You don't lose all the ground that you've gained. And the same is true in community. The same is true in church. The same is true in your walk with God. This is a continual growth thing. We grow as individuals. We grow in community. We belong with and to one another. Amen? I don't know about you, but I see that. I want to be a part of that. That's the kind of church I want us to be. That's our culture. Are you with me? The gift of belonging. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. We thank you for the ways that you've moved us today. We thank you for the good words that you've given us. We thank you for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. We ask for the gift of belonging in this place. That you help us, that you sharpen us, that you empower the leaders that are in place, those who serve, and those who don't serve yet. That you empower all of us to find and seek unity, that you bring us together in unity, honor, and trust. We're believing that you're gonna do the work that you said that you do, and we yield to you, and we receive comfort and conviction today. Comfort that we do belong, and conviction that we need to be responsible and connect and grow. And we thank you for it today, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, All right, stand up on your feet. I'm going to bless you. And I did go a little over, but that's okay. We're hanging out after. So bow your heads with me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, making you look just like him, and give you peace. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, let's praise God for it. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord Jesus.